Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this November 16th, 2022, 10:34 on the clock. And you have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the microphone. In studio with us today, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you, Shane. How you been?
I'm good. Thank you. How about you?
Doing good. I want to also send a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Taylor and the gang over there. We always appreciate you guys being here. Busy time this time of year, really. I mean, right up until the top of the new year and stuff, it's going to be that way. What are some of the things on your docket, first and foremost, Shane, right now?
Deer hunting.
Yeah, right on, right. Okay. All right, excellent, wonderful. How's that going?
last night, the budget levy was approved. So, you know, we've been, you know, the council and staff have put in a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of meetings and a lot of evenings and a lot of presentations. And so, you know, this time of the year, typically for us, it slows down a bit. Usually people are thinking about the holidays, Thanksgiving, yeah, Christmas, yeah. And government isn't always at the top of the list at this point in time, because we can focus on family a little bit now.
Yeah. When it comes to wrapping up orange cone season, how did that go this year, the construction? It seemed, and from our conversations throughout the summer and everything, seemed like everything rolled pretty smoothly, that they were pretty much on time, and budget-wise, things, you know, fitting everything going as hopefully as planned.
Yeah, so, you know, it did go really well. Our construction crew and Paul Vollert and the engineering staff, they put a lot of time in getting the season ready and getting it all prepped up. This year they ended up, because up on the Avenue North, they hit bedrock, so mm-hmm. it kind of put them behind a little bit. And they ultimately, the decision after discussion with council was they held off on a project this year, and they're going to push that project to the spring. So I think that was a good decision, and it can maybe helps avoid, you know, that neighborhood having a torn up street all winter long, and then sitting there waiting until spring. Yeah. So might as well wait. On my way in, though, I saw Digger Dan down over here. They had the backhoe running, and they're working on a retaining wall there and trying to improve that. And, you know, that's a long overdue project, and it'll also help mitigate maybe some flooding and kind of improve the pathway there also. They did that all the way up through behind the state office building and to the north there.
It's looking great. It already looks like it's coming together really nicely. I appreciate that you're bringing that up too, Shane, because one of the things that when we think about road construction, we think about infrastructure. I know it isn't the sexiest stuff in the world, but it's so vital, so important. And it's one of those things that, boy, when something goes wrong, we notice it. If there's a pothole, there's damage to a bridge, something like that. But we don't always think about, even when we're riding on a new road, we don't necessarily think about how the economic impact that can make. Just a simply new paved road, whether you're talking about car damage or car repair, or we're talking about our repair to our vehicles, our county vehicles, our city vehicles that are our plows and all these things. All this stuff really adds up. So when you're talking to constituents, when you're talking to the community and everything about construction, do you think that that really hits home to people, that how important this stuff is, this infrastructure? It's not just some terminology we throw around here and everything. It's really one of the bedrocks of our community.
Yeah, ride quality is huge. You know, you hear from a lot of residents and people about our ride quality and on some of our roads and the potholes. And, you know, I come in off Lincoln Street off the expressway a lot of times. And if anybody that's ridden it knows, that is just, it's a rumble strip. It is so degraded, and you're gonna. People have been seeing surveyors there. Our televising crew from the wastewater, Ben Jennings and the crew over there, have been televising the lines, because that's a 2024 project. So that's going to be rebuilt from the expressway to Baker, and that is dramatically going to improve the quality of that ride. But it's also infrastructure that needs replacing. But with the transportation utility and ARPA funds, we're going to be doing more pavement replacement. So it's just, you know, the top layer. And then we're going to be seeing more of that in the next few years to try to really improve the ride quality. Because you kind of hit a point where The infrastructure, let's say, lasts 100 years, but the payment's only going to last 50. So you have to do something to get to the end of the life of the infrastructure. And, you know, doing a pavement replacement is a way to do that and improve that ride quality until that infrastructure expires. And that's something we have to, you know, continue to maintain and do our due diligence to keep that ride quality improved. But the expressway in A Street, you know, that's, you know, if I'm going to ask anybody to do anything, call our legislators, you know, mm-hmm. I talk to them, you know, that's a state road and we're paying state tax dollars for these roads. And I don't think it's the city of Wisconsin Rapids residents to use our local tax dollars to fix those roads for the state. And we know they're in rough shape, and yeah. we know they need to be replaced, and we need a commitment from the state to do that. Mm-hmm. And that has to come from them.
When it comes to the new jail that is going to be being built, and with the construction that's been going on and that needs to go on, future projects and everything, how are those intersecting, and is there any crossover? Or is that planning kind of going in line well?
Yeah, you know, we've had a really good relationship with the county, and our staff between the two meet every other week, and we're talking with their staff and our staff, you know, on coordination, working with, you know, some of the logistics of that construction that's going to take place downtown for the next 2 years. Also, next year, we're going to be doing Oak Street, basically from Jackson to 16th Street. So that's also kind of a near downtown project that's going to kind of overlap down there, and there's going to be a lot of activity, and so a lot of communication has been taking place to make sure we're on the same page and coordinating.
And any new news with that, with the jail project?
Nothing new. You know, it's last night council approved something through planning. I believe I can't remember anymore. A combination of lots, maybe, or
yeah.
You know, but yeah. So
that's what I was saying. Yeah,
everything's kind of progressing now, and you know, the county's always had great representation at our meetings for questions, and which is greatly appreciated because, you know, if we can get answers to questions, we can keep things moving along. And so the dynamic's been really well.
Speaking with Mayor Shane Blazer, and of course, we have Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media today. And, you know, yesterday we had our friends from the United Way on. We just wrapped up our United Way Radiothon. One of the things that came out of the conversation was the data report that we got from the Alice report, the information we got from there. And there was a number of different things that really stood out, a lot that stood out. But certainly just looking at Wood County here, some of the things, the data that we are getting, like 1 in 3 households are considered under the Alice umbrella, in need, essentially. The 46%, nearly half of our community, of the city of Wisconsin Rapids, the worst in Wood County, is in need, is under this umbrella, that would be considered in the Alice group. This is, and then 40% of our senior households are in that, which we, of course, know in our area here, that's a good part of our population. You and I have talked before about this, Shane. You come into this job and a pandemic falls down, and you've got that to deal with. And then you have this kind of stats and these data that is coming out. How do you combat any of these things? And what are you and the board, what are you guys doing to try to, you know, bring these numbers in a better respect, to a more comfortable area?
Yeah, so I had a conversation with a journalist from UW-Madison yesterday. We did a Zoom interview, and she's writing an article regarding the Versal Mill. And I wish I could remember the stats, and I'll have to get them again, but how much, when the mill closed, our median income dropped.
Yeah.
And the spiraling effect to that has, you know, everybody wants retail in our community, but that's the first thing a retailer looks at is what our median income is. So as our median income drops, you know, the less likelihood of, you know, a national realty business maybe interest in Rapids, and so you know, it's that constant struggle of fighting with those numbers. And you know, for us, it's about, you know, working with Kyle and discussing economic development, meeting with the council last night in closed session to discuss some opportunities. And it's about taking those opportunities and really kind of squeezing them as hard as we can to make sure it'll be a good fit for our community. Because I don't want to open up the doors and say, come on in just because we need a development.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't think that's going to be healthy for our community. But I think every option has to be kind of weighed out and discussed. And is it going to be a benefit to our community? Or in 2 years, you know, is it a benefit now, but in 2 years it's going to be a detriment?
Right.
And I really think we need to look at that, because just taking anything to get some kind of tax base isn't necessarily going to be the best, especially if it causes increase in law enforcement or fire. You know, those, then we're going to have to add services. And so really that benefit isn't going to be there. But it's really about weighing them. And, you know, is this something for a community? And we're doing that all the time.
And we're fortunate to have people in these positions like yourself, like the board, that are thinking that forward. Mm-hmm. We don't need a quick fix. We need something that is going to make a lasting impact. Exactly. We all see that, in fact, more times than not, a quick fix actually does more harm than good. So I think that's a really good point to bring up. And especially when you're talking about, if I'm a business and I'm looking at going to this community, that is a major factor, if not the main factor, as you mentioned there about the, you know, income in that. But another thing that they're going to be looking at, another thing that they're going to be thinking of too, is certainly population and these things. And we do have things that are encouraging, the things that will bring a business to our area. And I don't want it to sound like all doom and gloom or anything like that. I think anybody that lives in this area in Wood County understands that it's not that way. But we also don't want to let it get to that point. So that's where these numbers, talking about these kind of things, that's how we're going to prevent those things from sliding even farther back. It can't be lost in the shuffle. We can chew gum and walk at the same time. Mm-hmm. We can look at that there are issues and at the same time appreciate what we got, too.
And Wisconsin Rapids isn't unique. You know, every community across this country wants that business, wants that development, wants to strengthen their tax base, wants to, you know, position themselves in a good position. So we are competing against every other community, and we have to put our best foot forward. You know, I think we are Wisconsin, and, you know, we have great work ethic here, and I think we're a great, great people. And, you know, as long as we keep, you know, keep that our heads high and keep pushing forward, you know, that's what we have to do. And, you know, the next business opportunity is out there, or, you know, people talk quite a bit about the next local person that has that business idea that grows into a national business. We have a lot of really great local companies here. You know, if I would name them, but I can't name them all. But, you know, but there are a lot of great local companies. I guess I bow hunt all the time. I love being in a bow stand. I use the HHA bow sights. They're made here in our community. They're nationally known. And, you know, there's a lot of great companies like that here. And, you know, the next big explosion could easily happen anytime, and we have to be here ready and to support them and those opportunities, and because they're here.
When it comes to the community, when you're hearing from people, when you're hearing, are there things that stand out more than others as far as going ahead into this, as we're wrapping up 2022, getting ready for 23, that people that are on the forefront of their minds, hey, this is a concern to me, or hey, I'm looking forward to this, even, you know?
You know, for me, most of my days, it kind of encompasses trying to help citizens, you know, navigate government or get response out of government. And I look at that as being a very important part of my function, of my daily role here. And, you know, as simply as working with a lady dealing with an accident report the other day and working with our police department and records and, you know, trying to help citizens kind of navigate that process. And so, usually it's these one-offs I get a lot of calls on, and not you know, roads are always typically a thing. You know, we need retail space, we need to go shop local kind of things. Those are always important. We're always trying to work with developers on those type of things. But, you know, as for one single issue, it just seems to be everybody has their own kind of battles they're dealing with, or hopes and dreams, or would like to see government do something differently. And you got to put them together, weigh them out, and here we are.
Yeah. You mentioned the budget meeting. Any other information, any other highlights coming out of that noteworthy?
No, you know, I think it kind of all settled out. There was some hiccups in there, you know, especially with the library was under discussion, and it really kind of got a group of people, you know, their attention, and they participated in the process. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's really, you know, people complain about when our taxes go up, but they complain about when something gets cut out. So, you know, it's really, you know, we know everything's costing more. There's a tax increase this year. It's, I think, about 2.9%. And a lot of that largely in part is because of supply costs, you know, just even road construction, buying pipe, you know, everything has gone up so much now that, you know, those costs are in there. And, you know, the council voted through the budgetary process to, you know, hire three additional firefighters, firefighter paramedics, and that's about $300,000. And, you know, so there's cost to those things. And, And then, so yeah, so I think all in all, you know, through a good discussion in the council this year, we changed the process up. I don't think it was perfect. I think there could be some improvement on the front end of it, but I think how we did it through a committee of the whole process, including all the council members and versus just the finance committee, was a very good addition and allowed everybody to participate more or feel like that was the time to participate instead of waiting until the end, like last night. And you know, last year we ended up having quite a unique final council meeting because that's where people felt they could start to participate. And we wanted to make sure that people had that opportunity through the whole course of the process. And then last night was, for lack of a better word, was pretty uneventful. You know, there were all the questions that needed to be asked had been long asked. You know, votes had been long taken, so most people knew where everybody stood on issues, and it was adopted and going forward.
We're looking forward to having the new board member, the new head of the library on with us. We haven't gotten a chance to talk with her yet, and looking really forward to that. Sounds like an amazing young person.
She's a riot.
She seems like it. Yeah, she seems great.
I keep telling her she's not a library director. My impression of a library director, and maybe because I've grown up here, my impressions are different, but yeah. She's very outgoing, and she's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because we've had some great board members. We've had some great leaders of that library, and it seems like we have another one there, too. But similar to yourself, walking into a position with already a kind of a cloud over that position, let alone just trying to do the job from it as it is, she's coming into this, and you know, really one of the first things people are hearing is the budget cuts and the concern with that. And what I hope is happening, I look forward to talking with her about this too. Most of the time, and I don't want to say this is a negotiation by any means, but oftentimes when you're coming into a situation like that, you're going to be giving the bigger thing first, and hopefully it doesn't come to that. After you talk, you come in, okay, it actually is only going to take this. Hopefully that is the case with this, but it also speaks to what we've been talking about here and really what we were even talking with the United Way for the last 3 hours. This is a community that is in need. It is a community that needs people to lean on each other, to be there for each other. This is not... this is a time to show our unity, our unification, really, and be there for one another. And when it comes to these things, there's a decision that we'll make together. I think that part gets lost in the shuffle, too, that everybody that's listening out there, anybody who is a resident of Wood County, you are a voice that matters in this. We want to hear from you. We want to hear where you're coming from on this and how important these things are to you.
Yeah, you know, with the library, and my concern was is that we hired a library director, I think, is going to do an amazing job, and then we want to talk about reducing the budget. I think she's got to be given that opportunity to evaluate the operations, see what's important, and seeing maybe she has some ideas how to make things more efficient. And I think that opportunity has to happen this next year, and I fully support her on that. And we need to go forward this year. And, you know, I also want to thank Wood County. You know, last year they funded a library at 93%, because I believe they only have to fund it at 70% on this formula. So they approved 100% this year, which was an additional $100,000 the county is putting into the library, which we as a city were able to reduce our portion by $100,000 to the city taxpayers. So it kind of helps that spread out. But lately everybody's asking me, what can I do to help the library? Because really it's a city-owned building and service, but it's supplemented by the county for the townships around us that don't have a library. So they kind of put in for their share of use. And so the greatest way you can help out our library locally, and amazingly, because of how the funding formula is set up, is you just need to check out a book. It's not electronics. By going there, it doesn't count. You need to physically check out a book. So anybody that I ever see that doesn't live in a city, I say, check out 5 books a week. But because that all goes into the formula factor for funding. And
That's really good to hear. That's great. And that's something that everybody can do. Everybody can be a part of that. Yeah. And it gets you into the library. And for many people, they're looking for an excuse to get over to the library.
Yep. Check out a book or five, and that will help, you know, that library out and the funding at that library dramatically.
It's very interesting. And I don't think that's common knowledge. That's
I never knew that.
Yeah.
You know, but it has to be a physical checkout, though. Hmm. Like, And that's the only way, that's how that formula is set up.
You know, Shane, when we first got together, we first started talking about this on air, off air. Being in this position wasn't something that you necessarily had, you know, were a little boy dreaming about or anything. It wasn't something you were looking to do eventually. But here you are, not only in years later, but on a second term even of doing this. I know the job's hard, and I think that any one of us can have some empathy and put ourselves in your shoes and understand a lot of the things that we that are difficult. And then on top of that, the things we don't even know that you deal with and all of that. But have you been able to find some like joy in this job and doing this and being a part of this situation, even though it wasn't something that you necessarily ever really thought about doing? Now that you're here doing it, can you see why not only that we chose you, why we wanted you in this position, mm-hmm. but why we think you've been able to enjoy in it?
My enjoyment, you know, national politics are national politics, and I'll always give you anybody my opinion on what I think, but realistically, my joy in this job comes from, you know, just the other day working with this lady, trying, you know, frustrated on an accident situation. It's those simple things where I've been a lifelong resident of Rapids. I made my way back here. I'm raising my family here. And my joy comes from helping my fellow residents. And as simply as trying to, out of frustration because they can't make contact with the department, if they call us, if we can kind of help, you know, make that contact and push them on. That's where my joy really comes in this job. You know, I'm not a big events guy. I'm it's not my strength is cheerleading, but I love this community and I like the residents, and that's what I really want to help out or people that are struggling with the process.
Is there anything you want to discuss? We've got about 5 minutes left here and everything. Is there anything, you know, you've handled all my questions and everything I want to throw at you, but is there anything you want to get into?
I don't know what's on Taylor's mind today.
Right, we never talked to Taylor. I actually would love to interview Taylor sometime. I got a lot of questions that I'd love to go over with you. Another show, we'll do that, definitely. What I wonder, when it comes to that, because I know that you yourself also are seeing so many things, and there's things that you would like to do. Have you been able to accomplish a lot of the things that you've wanted to so far in this term?
Yeah, how can we not even have not brought it up? But Monday night at the Park and Rec Commission, they approved up to spend up to $130,000 out of, you know, a park outlay account that's made up of room tax dollars over the last number of years. And so they've approved that for the dog park. So the dog park has definitely been something I felt is important to have in this community. A community our size absolutely needs a dog park. It's a good social activity for dogs and people. And there was a big step forward there.
Yeah.
So the next step now is in December, we'll go through Finance Committee and City Council to kind of finalize that, since it's done outside the budget process. And so, yeah, we have a location. We'll start cleaning, grubbing that out hopefully this winter.
The location again, for those that don't remember.
So it's off of Saratoga Street near mm-hmm. like 25th, up by the Family Center, up in that area.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of really excited about it. You know, it's a dog park, but it's something that the kind of community I've heard over and over through our park master plan has been brought up in there. And yeah, it's quite a bit of money, but I think in the long run, you know, it's not going to be a huge cost to maintain, but to get her done. You know, it's just right now it's a twisted mess of trees and
yeah.
we need some help up there, but
It is a chunk of change that is going into this. It is an investment because it is it costs a lot more to lose families or to not gain families. And look, the numbers speak for themselves. People that are cities that are dog friendly, that have dog parks, people want to move to more, want to stay in those communities more. And there's nobody in a rural area in a small town that isn't trying to keep their you know, population up and everything. So the economic impact this will have. And I don't put my name on a whole lot of things in this world. I put my name on this. I mean, I guarantee this is going to have good benefits from it and everything.
It's really going to be nice. You know, I have hopes that there will be a group eventually that will form that will want to hold fundraisers or brat fries to add an amenity. But I went into this is that, you know, sometimes you have these partnerships and they work out really well, but then sometimes when, you know, the group may fizzle or the group I wanted to go into this, you know, owning that the city is going to own this dog park, at least the basic dog parks of an area fence, a mowing, cleaning, and changing dog stations. And then any amenities that maybe some group might want to build a pavilion, picnic stuff, you know, dog agility course equipment, all that could be something that a group can kind of take on and say, hey, we want to do this, we want to raise money, and then put them in the dog park. It's going to be an amazing location, I think.
It's a great location, and that's a great thing to hear, and very smart way to handle this, too. We don't run into another situation like this, you know, what we're in right now, if it's owned by the city. I love the idea of other businesses being able to add to the park, but not necessarily owning the park.
Right, and having that responsibility of like, oh, you're going to mow this week, or you're going to change the garbage. We're going to do those basic things.
Yeah.
And Taylor, I believe you did some drone footage up there.
Oh, nice.
And we really need to get that out publicly because, you know, I told our park and rec superintendent that I'd like to do more as it's maybe this winter, as if they're cleaning and grubbing the area, do some more footage. And because Taylor did some amazing, I would have crashed the thing, but he had a great flight. It's really neat. And so we need to get that out there.
Well, looking forward to that. And want to encourage people to follow our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media on social media. Certainly follow their YouTube page, subscribe to it, and see the great work that they're doing over there. And always appreciate the time, Taylor. Thanks for coming in and doing all the work that you do on the sidelines there, and appreciate it. And Mayor, always good talking with you, Shane. We never have enough time, though.
We never
always run out of time. But thank you again for everything you're doing. We're looking forward to talking again next month.
Thanks for having me on, James.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. Poland's president and the NATO chief are in agreement the day after a missile plunged into Polish farmland, killing two people.
We have no indication that this was the result of a deliberate attack.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, after a meeting of the alliance in Brussels.
The incident was likely caused by a Ukrainian air defense missile fired to defend Ukrainian territory against Russian cruise missile attacks.
Stoltenberg said there is no indication Russia is preparing offensive military acts against NATO.
That's CBS's Cammie McCormick. In launching his third run for the White